last night. We got another game tonight, and we need everybody to be there, be loud inside American Family Field, game two of the NLCS. So many things going on with the crew around the National League Championship Series, so we welcome in our friend, Brewer COO Marty Ronski. Good morning, Marty. How are we doing this morning?
Good morning, guys. I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, look, before we get to all the great things that you guys have going on with the Brewers, I honestly feel better about getting obviously would have preferred somebody to get a hit there in the ninth inning to drive in a couple of runs and maybe steal the win. But the fact that they got the bats going in the ninth makes me feel good going into this game today.
Yeah, and I got to tell you guys, as a true baseball fan, what Snell did last night was unbelievable. There were two things in that game that, you know, I don't know that I've ever seen before. The crazy play with Sal for that, that double play. Like, I've literally, stared at baseball for the last 23 years of my life straight. And that is, that was extraordinary. And then Snell's performance. You know, sometimes you just have to say, dang, you know, he had a game of his life and we were still in the game. So, you know, I wish it had gone our way, undoubtedly. I know there's a lot of guys that are going to, you know, if this, if that, that's how baseball always is. But we're in it. We're in it. So feeling good.
Is this a harder one to flush, Marty, than the regular season for the organization, not just for the players? I mean, to me it is. It's just a weird feeling. I'm not worried about tonight because I know that place will be unbelievable. But is it harder to let go?
You know, look, these guys, they compete their heads off all the time. And I think if you just watch them, right, you can see there's always guys that have a particularly good night and particularly bad night. Never, I think, particularly easy to flush. But that's where, frankly, Murph and his coaches really come into this in terms of, okay, let's analyze it. Let's learn from it. And, you know, let's go. I think Murph even talked about that last night in his press conference, which is like, there's certain things you learn from and you keep moving. So no, they're going to be fine. I'm not worried. Does it ache a little more? Cause would you love to have game one at home? Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But you know, no doubt. There's no doubt about that. But these guys, I mean, this is part of what I think we see in the moments that it's the heart. I mean, look at game five. Right. I'm not worried about their resilience a bit, too. I really am not.
Yeah. I mean, again, you're playing with Freddie, who's been so good at home. He's on the mound tonight. And then you go to Los Angeles. And the Brewers are the best road team in baseball. So, again, it's a long series. It is a long series ahead of us with seven games. So we talk with Marty Ronski, Brewer COO. Speaking of the game tonight, are there still some tickets available, standing room only, or did those get scooped up?
No, there are some, and here's what happens, you know, and I find it's like, we should talk about this. You know, when we've got these games, we sell out and our fans have been just so extraordinary. So we sold out of everything we had, guys. And then what happens is, in this instance, the Dodgers say, okay, because we hold tickets for the opposing team always. That's part of just what we do everywhere. And then they tell us the night before what they're going to actually need and not need. And whatever they release, right, whatever they tell us they don't need, we end up trying to sell. So you will see this morning a few additional seats that are out there and, you know, across three different levels, all three levels. Not a ton, but a few of those releases will come out and then a couple SROs that are still available.
Beautiful. So if you have an opportunity to go to the game tonight, shoot. If you want to fly up to Florida, bud, game's on me. I got you. We'll sit together.
Send me your G5 and I'll be I'll be there tailgating with you. I think the Brewers fans should be commended because we heard early in the season that the Brewers, the coaching staff up there, was not happy with the fans selling their tickets early on in the season. And, you know, obviously we worry about the Cubs infiltrating Anthem, and it didn't happen. There wasn't much of a presence last night for Dodgers fans, whether. So the fans really need to be commended for that. It was crazy to watch because the fans are just trying to will this to happen. Out of all
the amazing
playoff home fields, they are the most excited, and it's just unbelievable to see.
Yeah, I mean, I can't say it better than you just said it. We are We're so grateful. The guys are grateful. I mean, it has been extraordinary in terms of our fans showing up and showing out. We feel every bit of it. I mean, we're the crazy people in the suite too, where normally we might feel like we're doing the same thing. We're, you know, whipping towels and doing the whole nine yards, but our fans, I mean, look at the yellow. When you're in that ballpark, you can hear it, you can see it, you can feel it. So the fans, we need it again tonight. You know, we need it if we're back in Milwaukee to clinch this thing. We need it then. But fans have been absolutely unbelievable. And I'll tell you this, the other thing that's unbelievable, guys, we're going to do another. We did a watch party for the first game when we were in Chicago, the first road game last week. We did a watch party at Davidson Park. 5,000 people showed up with their, you know, to sit with their blankets, the food trucks, face painting. 5,000 people. We were, you know, not sure exactly what to expect. It was extraordinary. We're going to do another one Thursday. You know, that game's 5:08. So, you know, fans can show up starting at 4. You know, bring your chairs and your blankets for folks who haven't been to that park before. It's really fantastic. And it was just a great community event. So they're showing up when we're home. They're showing up when we're not. It has just been incredible.
Tailgate games, face painting, DIY pennant making happening. Again, this is free. Just show up, take the kids. It's like you said, it's a 5:08. So, you know, the sun's still going to be shining and a great chance to spend some time with the family, but also, you know, cheer on the crew here in Milwaukee when they go out to LA.
That's right. And I think, you know, one of the things that is just so awesome here, I saw this, one of my sons showed me this thing on Instagram, which is, you know, an image of the entire country. And it said fans who are showing or who are cheering for the Brewers to beat the Dodgers, and then fans who are cheering for the Dodgers. And there was like a little tiny corner of California and a little tiny, you know, spot, this would be Chicago, cheering for the Dodgers, and the rest of us all, you know, cheering for the little one in this. But, you know, it's been such an incredible, you know, showing of support by not only our fans, but frankly, sort of the way Wisconsin won the hearts of fans across the country. We're going to keep this thing going, guys. We got to keep going. I'm going to be back here talking to you guys in a few days. I can't wait.
All right. See, this is what I need. This is the energy we need, Marty.
Oh, yeah. Look, Marty, I feel it too, but I got to tell you guys, like, we have done this over and over all season, and there is absolutely no reason why it would not continue.
Marty, do you think there will be a good presence in Dodger Stadium? Think the Brewer fans are going to travel well out there?
You know, we're always shocked by the number of Brewers. You know, we're shocked by the number of Dodgers fans that end up here. And then we're always very pleasantly surprised by the Brewers fans in Dodger Stadium. I'll tell you, if nothing else, you'll hear me. My voice may be ringing through the entire, you know, stadium all by myself, if nothing else. But we've got some staff going and whatever else. And, you know, Dodger Stadium is, it's not a bad place to play, certainly, right? It's a little more open. And their fans show up, but our fans show up differently. So our voices will be heard. I have no fear too.
I was at the game last night. I thought about, but I did not ultimately pull the trigger on any of the new ballpark eats that you guys have for the NLCS. For playoff baseball, I just feel like I got to go traditional. I just need the hot dog. I need the stadium sauce, and I need my Miller Lite. That's it. That's all I need. And then maybe some peanuts to like stress eat, you know, while, you know, the game's going on. But you guys keep coming up with just new, unique things for people to try at the ballpark. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. And you know, unbelievable is probably the right word for it. We've got everything from, you know, new kinds of ramen to different things that we're putting on fries to, you know, again, we still have the 2-foot nachos and all these other amazing things. And what's great is our partners, right, in the Third Street Market Hall and in the new food court, like the food trucks, they're all coming up with new food all the time to continue to celebrate. And fans continue. I'm always like, these games are stressful. How do you not to discourage people, but how is it like your heartburn not through the roof or your indigestion when you're eating that stuff? It's extraordinary. But yes, new food at the ballpark, undoubtedly, for the moments that you just need to go for a walk. Well, we've got all the standard stuff too, guys. So it has been, the other thing I will tell you is check out the store. The postseason merch and the DS champions merch is, I should have brought one on this morning. Those hats are absolutely so right. Cool. They're black, like a dark gray with gold. Those are for sale. They are really cool. I don't always say, and they fit right. They're not like, you know, they fit everybody's head right. I don't know about yours too, but they fit everybody else really right.
What are you saying? I got a big head?
I it was just a guess.
I do have a big head. I do.
But I'm going after our guy.
That's all right. I deserve
it. No, I'm not
it.
Going after. I'm gonna see. I want to bring him for you guys, and I'm just not positive I can guarantee a fit there. But we're gonna try.
All right, Marty. I heard Josh. He got two tickets tonight to tonight's game from you. Is that because Josh's advice he gave your son when it comes to fantasy football, or what's the deal?
No, we're still. I'll tell you what we're doing here. We're continuing to win you guys over slowly. We're continuing to shift. This is, I know this is your prime time, guys. I know this is football central, but slowly but surely we are. And don't get me wrong. I love football almost as much as I love baseball, but as long as we're still relevant, I'm going to make sure that we stay relevant with you guys. So,
well, hold on. Gabe got some nice swag. I think he got a hat and a shirt. Joshy got two tickets to tonight's game, and I got a cat bowl. And I don't even have a cat.
Can I ask you? Yeah. Hold on. Would you like to come tonight?
Ah, it's a long drive.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Here's what we're going to do, my friend.
Okay.
Our next home game, okay? Game six. You are my special guest, okay?
Okay.
We will get you back. You're my special guest. It's a Monday. You're going to survive. It's okay. We can talk football, but
is it a 2 o'clock game? A 10 o'clock game? I struggle with night games.
He's just a big baby, Marty. He is literally a baby that you have to put to bed at like 8 o'clock.
He's in Florida also, and he's not coming back.
You know who would go back? My wife. My wife is so into this. She stayed up. For the whole game. I didn't. And she had to explain the Frelick thing to me. And my kids didn't play baseball.
That was a confusing thing. I you're not alone in that. I'll defend you there for a moment. I mean, look at Sale. Sale didn't understand what was going on.
Yeah,
that's true.
Well, these BC guys, some of us aren't the sharpest tools in the shed.
So I will take her. She can come back and go to the game with me. We're all
okay.
Set. No all right.
worries.
And then you'll have more than a cap bowl.
Marty, thank you so much. Your energy is exactly what we needed today. Brewers, game two tonight. But again, don't forget to check out the watch party for game three. Davidson Park. Again, great things going on with the Brewers, with the NLCS. Thank you so much for the time, Marty.
Thanks, Marty.
Oh, thank you, you guys. We got Chewy. Stay awake. We need this man. Come on.
I'm going to try.
We need everyone. All right. Thanks, guys. Take care. Go Brewers.
Brewers COO Marty Ronski. Always love when friend of show Marty jumps on the show to tell us everything going on with the crew. Guys, I'm telling you, if you're making plans to propose to that special someone in your life, of course, the Jewelry Center is the only place to go. It's the best place to shop in diamond for diamond engagement rings in Milwaukee for a reason. That reason, the helpful team that Dean, the dancing machine, has put together. So whether you're in the market for a naturally mined diamond, a lab-grown diamond, whatever you're looking for, the Jewelry Center has you covered in Brookfield, Greenfield, or in Burlington. Maybe you have an idea, you don't have an idea. That helpful team is never going to lead you astray to make sure that that dream ring becomes a reality. Check them out online, shoptjc.com. And when you head to the Jewelry Center, Brookfield, Greenfield, or in Burlington, tell them that Gabe and Chew sent you.
It's time to hear from the voice of the Brewers.
Fly ball to deep right. It is back. Soto back.
Jeff Levering is brought to you by the NeuroSpine Center of Wisconsin. Go where the pros go to fix all your back pain. Visit them today at neurospine.com.
Appreciate a little Huey Lewis in the news to bring me in today. Love that.
Thank you. And I love Huey Lewis in the news, so I'm all about it.
Jeff Levering on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Always love talking to our guy, Jeff Levering, every Tuesday. Good morning, Jeff. How are we doing today, bud?
Good morning, fellas. Game two, a lot of optimism. The sun came up again today, so we're all squared away. Come on, let's go.
I feel really good. Maybe it's just because of the way the game ended. And look, yes, I would have loved it if Contreras would have gotten a hit to drive into, or if Terang doesn't chase the fastball by his neck. But the fact that they found themselves in that position, despite literally sending the minimum amount of guys to the plate through the first eight innings, makes me feel really good about that offense going into game two.
Yeah, scary when you see 24 up and 24 down, right? But it was good to see a couple of walks, right? You're starting to see, okay, let's see some pitches, and that's really good going into a game like today against Yamamoto, who has had some command issues in the past. We saw that in this ballpark in July, where he didn't get out of the first inning. So I feel like there's some positivity that you can take away from the game last night. Jake Bauer's coming off the bench and getting a big double. He'll probably be in the starting lineup today, would be my guess, because of a right-hander on the mound. So we'll see. I mean, it's not a must-win, but going to L.A. down 2-0 does not sound great. So I would say today is as must-win as it gets over the course of the season.
So quickly, because you mentioned Jake, do you think he starts at first base? Or because Sal, with how he played center field last night, proved that he obviously can be trusted out there, do we see Bowers in left to try to keep both Bowers and Vaughn in the lineup?
That's a very astute observation on your part, Mr. Neitzel. Very nice. I got a feeling you might see Jake Bowers in left field today.
Right.
Just
that's
a hunch, you might see
about
him in left. And then you keep Vaughn's bat in the lineup over at first base. But we'll see.
Jeff, does it make it easier to flush for the players the fact that Snell's performance, you just tip the cap and say, hey, guy was unbelievable. Let's just move forward.
The dude was on a roll last night. He was unbelievable. I don't think I've seen a performance like that or seen a performance like that in a really, really long time. Yeah, for me, I have to go back to 2015 when Max Scherzer was an out away essentially from throwing a perfect game in this ballpark. And it was a flare from Carlos Gomez that broke things up. That's as good as I've ever seen was Max Scherzer that particular day. But Snell was just as good last night. And yeah, you tip your cap to him. He threw his changeup for strikes. He threw everything for strikes. He was mixing and matching. He was not predictable at all. Yeah, you tip your cap a little bit, and then you get after Yamamoto tonight.
How important is it for Freddie to go 5 or 6, seeing as how this is a longer series, there are less off days, and the bullpen is being asked to carry a lot of those innings on days Freddie doesn't start?
It's a huge deal, and I think for Freddie, he needs to go out there and dominate. If he goes 5, 6 innings, that means he's throwing the ball well and his pitch count is down, and that means you're in a really good position to potentially win a ball game. So for me, Freddie getting 5 or 6 innings into this ball game is going to be huge. Yeah, you have an off day tomorrow, but then it's 3 straight at Dodger Stadium if you get to a game 5, right? So the off days are few and far between in the National League Championship Series. It's really important for him to give the Brewers a good start today and give them some length.
Miz or no Miz tonight?
I would say he is potentially available, but they'll try and stay away from him as much as possible. I feel like tonight is going to be a Tobias Myers type of night if Freddie goes short.
What about the back end of the bullpen? Abner, it was more the command than anything, but the sinker was down a couple of miles an hour since he had to throw, got 6 outs on Saturday. Yeah, he had the off day Sunday, but then he goes, throws a high pitch count yesterday. Is Uribe available for the crew tonight?
I was talking about it on the radio last night as he's going deeper and deeper into these counts, and he's 25 pitches or so into his outing. He finally got out of it, but that was a big run that he allowed. It ended up being the difference in the ball game. And I said, the deeper he goes, it puts into his availability for game 2. So hopefully he's able to go. I think they trust his ability to come back. Trevor McGill's available. Canning will be available. At this point, everybody is available, in my opinion, with the exception of probably Miz, who threw the 60 pitches a couple of days ago.
What
Jeff,
was?
Have you ever seen?
Go
have
ahead.
You ever seen the? You ever seen the stadium that electric last night? I mean, on TV
game,
it looked unbelievable. They were into it.
Yeah, it was wild. I still think Game 5 of the division series was louder, just because. Right. I mean, from what was at stake in Game 5, I still think that was louder than last night. And the frankly, there wasn't a lot to cheer about. I mean, the loudest they got was during that crazy double play from Sal Frelick, when he makes the catch off a center field fence and they get the out at home and an out at third. That was as loud. And then the ninth inning was super loud too. But I think game 5 was as loud as I've ever heard that place.
All right. So give us your perspective from the booth. How long did it take you guys up there to figure out what the heck was going on with the Sal Frelick play?
Lane was on it. Lane was on the call. And as soon as, so you called the juggle, and as soon as the umpires, I was looking at the left field umpire, and he gives the signal, the it's in play, no catch signal.
Yeah.
And at that point, because I'm not going to jump in the middle of the call, but as soon as I saw the left field umpire do this, you know, take his arms out and say it's still in play, that means it's no catch.
And that means those bases are live. So credit to the umpires, because they had that thing the entire way. Mm-hmm. Lane nailed it, right? As soon as you had the out at home, and then there was chaos going around the bases, right? And then Contreras goes and runs the third base. He did a great job of explaining it. As soon as that baseball hits off the wall to live baseball, nailed it. Absolutely nailed it.
Yeah, it was a great call by Lane. It was the lack of replay was a little frustrating, even though I know they can't. I mean, the umpires are just huddling, so they're not going to throw it up on the scoreboard. But it was just trying to figure out if he did catch it, if he didn't catch it, sitting in the seats was a little frustrating. But again, credit to the umpires. They got it right. Can't wait for tonight. I know the ballpark is going to be ready. It's going to be raucous. Hopefully the Brewers score a couple of runs early, get that energy up for Freddie Peralta.
Yeah, I think that that's the key. Get out there, score a couple runs early. You're going to be just fine in game two today.
Appreciate the time. As always, Jeff, have a good call tonight.
You got it, guys. Take care. See ya.
Jeff Levering joins us every Tuesday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. And the crazy part is, the next time we talk to Jeff, like the possibilities are still so endless.
Endless.
Mm-hmm. Either the season's over, either the Brewers are in the World Series, or we're getting ready for a game seven. That's a week from today. And that's how, again, that's how quickly things can go in the baseball postseason, hoping for a big Brewers win tonight. But we got to get back to football. We got to get to Chewy's favorite part of the week. And this is going to be, I think, one of the wildest power rankings that we've had in quite some time. Because I think I know who's number one, but if I don't know who number one is, trying to figure out who two, three, four, with all these teams losing in the NFL, it's going to be tough to figure out. But if you're figuring out what you want to do for your holiday party, Events by Design, that's who you need to contact. Just search online, Events by Design. Well, why would you do that? Because Events by Design, whether it's a big party, a small party, or just assisting with your party, they can help you. The creative team at Events by Design truly enjoys the work that they do. They implement fresh ideas in every detail from planning to production, whether it's a big, large-scale event, whether it's just helping out like they did at our golf outing, just providing walk-up music on the 14th hole, putting on the whole event themselves. Events by Design, always going to be able to help you out, because for over 25 years, Events by Design has helped companies execute successful events. Retain that top talent. Invest in your culture today. Just search online. Events by Design. They design. You party.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Just jump on it.
That's what he did.
Jump on it. Slow down.
On 94.5 ESPN.
The NFL is wild. It is unpredictable, and some of the teams that we thought would be atop of the power rankings, I do not believe are there any longer. Let's dive into this week's power rankings.
It's Chewy's favorite segment of the week.
Hey, big guy, you catch the game?
It's power rankings time on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Did you catch the game last night?
Can I say yes to you?
What will the big guy have in store for us today?
See the game last night?
Which game?
Any of them.
All righty, I think this is a good list. I just think there's one hiccup.
Okay.
Minor hiccup, but it's still a hiccup. Odd as a cod. Do you guys like it like this? Or do you like dominant teams, top, easy? Kind of like this parody.
I mean, I like the shocking nature of it. I don't like it for this because I want to be right, and it's going to be really hard to be right because I just looked at my list and realized I didn't have Detroit on it. So now I got to figure out where I'm putting Detroit and who I'm dropping as we go here.
All right, let's get this rolling.
Because I literally was about to write down Detroit at two. I'm like, well, that can't be two. So I put somebody else there, and then I just filled out the rest without Detroit.
Yeah.
All right. Give me 10. I don't care about two right now.
I will say Kansas City.
I'm going to say the Niners.
It is the Denver Broncos.
Okay.
The Broncos.
Fair. Big win when they beat Philly 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
They barely beat the Jets. Jets. But
that's like I said, the London game. You figure it out.
Is a win. Nine.
What about the Seahawks?
Pittsburgh Steelers.
Number nine is the Kansas City Chiefs.
Damn it. Should have just kept riding the NFC. I had the AFC West. I had all three of them there. I'm like, well, one of these has got to be not there if I got to get Detroit in here. Gosh, darn it.
The Chiefs are going to win the Super Bowl. Their
you
offense
so?
Is good again, and it's explosive.
It's about to get a lot better.
Yeah. I'm.
Do they just don't really care during the regular season?
I think they don't to a degree, but I think they – like, Patrick Mahomes is playing extremely well.
Yeah.
Tyquan Thornton has become an option. Juju Smith-Schuster, Hollywood Brown, and now Rashi Rice is coming back.
Yeah.
How
Did
much?
You watch Buffalo? You
how
watch
much is Branch going to get fined for? I mean,
I don't know
say
about
punch.
I saw he got suspended.
Oh, he got suspended.
Yeah.
He actually got suspended.
Yeah, one game.
Yeah, he got one game.
Wow, I didn't think they would go that far. Well, obviously, I mean, if he's suspended, he loses a game check. So
I mean, yeah.
There's a tip. You know, I guess there is a fine that goes along with that.
Yes. Yeah.
Did you guys watch any of the football last night?
No, I did not.
Yeah, I vaguely saw things happening on the screen.
Buffalo's D looks terrible. Holy cats. 8-8-8.
I'm going to go back to the Seahawks.
Chargers.
Joshy is correct. Seahawks are 8. That was a big win. Beat the Jags. So I take it you're not going to guess my one hiccup. Gabe, you guessed it. I didn't think you'd go any lower, but I think Pittsburgh should be in the top 10.
Yeah, they're 4-1.
At 4-1. And they were 12. San Fran is 11. That's the only thing I didn't like. 7-7.
Detroit.
Whoa. Is this where the Packers are?
No, this is where the Rams are.
Okay.
The Rams are 7.
I had the Rams at 5.
They beat the Lamar-less Ravens.
Yeah.
Who are a train wreck.
I mean, aren't we by the end of the season going to see the Ravens right back up there in the power rankings as Lamar rips off like 6 wins in a row?
He's going to have to, is the problem. Because they've dug themselves such a deep hole that when he comes back, he's only going to be able to lose like 1 game.
Yeah, but didn't,
I wouldn't bet
right,
against him.
Didn't the NFL kind of screw him over?
It's a tough schedule to start.
Yeah.
I mean, beyond tough. They I don't think they played a layup team yet.
They beat the Browns.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean they would have beat the Texans with Lamar.
I feel good about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but still, I mean, it was just brutal. Brutal, brutal. Buffalo, Kansas City.
Yeah.
Both those games on the
screwed
road.
Screwed them.
Yeah. Tough.
Yeah, they really did. Did we do 6?
We have not.
Nope. I'm going
Number
Packers.
6.
Yeah, I mean, I feel the Packers should be ahead of Detroit because, well, they are in the standings and they beat them. But also, I can't imagine the Packers being top 5. But maybe they. I'm going with the Packers at 6.
You're right. Packers are 6, up 2 spots from 8. Give me 5.
Eagles,
Detroit.
Gabe, have you gotten one right? No, you got the Packers right last time. Eagles are 5.
See, the Detroit
What's
shouldn't be this
deal?
High. Like, what are we doing with Detroit?
What's their deal, though? What's the Eagles' deal?
Is
it the infighting?
Yeah, they need to function. This is the part of the season where everybody questions the Eagles because they have to deal with all their drama, and then the talent starts to shine through as we continue.
Their interior, the offensive line is injured. Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown are being weird like they do every year.
And how about our guys, Za'Darius Smith, abruptly retiring. Abruptly retiring this week.
Such a reliable
game,
guy.
Does the Giants game look a little tougher for the Pack, though?
They are so... That Giants team is Jekyll and Hyde.
Yeah.
Like, the Giants can put up a fight, or they could just lay down for you.
Okay. Depends who shows up. 4!
Because you have to remember, so they've beaten the Chargers and Eagles, and in between that, they lost to the Saints by 12.
That's bad. Is
this where the Lions
This has
are?
To be Detroit.
Josh, you said Detroit?
Yes.
Yeah.
Indianapolis Colts. Do the Colts have...
What are we doing here? Yeah. Why are we doing power rankings if Indy's going to be behind Detroit?
Hold on. Could the Colts be 1? They're 5-1.
Yes, they have a good of a case. Their offense is unbelievable.
Yeah. They're tough, man. I didn't see that coming at all.
They've scored 100.
Daniel Jones?
They've scored 194 points. And in the AFC, That's almost 30 points more than anybody else.
Yeah.
It's just
Daniel Jones.
They have the best. They've scored the most points. They've scored the most points. Detroit's the only team that's close in the NFL. They need to be ahead of Detroit.
Number three.
I'm switching. I'm pivoting. I'm going Bills.
I have the Bills at three, but yeah, I guess Detroit. We don't care if they lose. I guess Detroit is going to be number two. Yeah, let's go Buffalo.
A.O. Buffalo. They looked terrible last night. Or the Falcons look. Falcons offense is really good.
Yeah, well, they have all the guys there.
Bijan Robinson hit a hole.
Yeah, and part of that is they still have a young quarterback who played three games last year, and he's still learning and growing. And when he's on, yeah, that offense can be.
The guy might stink. Oof. I don't know. Drake London, just throw him the ball a million times. He'll get a ton of yards.
Yep. And then just turn around and hand it off to Bijan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
yeah,
throw it to him, too, because he had like 60 yards receiving.
All right, like a cheat code. Give me number two.
This is the Lions.
Detroit Lions, which is bogus.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are number one.
Yes, as they should be.
Yeah,
Lions as they two. Should be.
I just want to see you squirm.
Tampa, Detroit being two, are we being
all right,
serious?
All right, hold on. Give me your top five. Give me your top five.
So I would have Tampa Bay and Indy one and two.
One and two, fair.
I would put
Philly, Buffalo, or the Lions at three.
I guess I would probably go.
I would go Philly, Detroit, Buffalo. Buffalo looked like garbage last night.
Detroit's not even in first place in their division.
I'm aware.
Like,
all right.
I'm sorry. You can't be second place in your division and be the second best team in the NFL unless the number one team is the team in your division. The Packers aren't number one.
All right. Let me ask you another question. I just got a text this morning from Daddy Longfingers, my doctor, who's singing the praises of the team to the south. Where do you think they are?
The Chicago Bears?
Yes.
24.
They got a win over the Commies yesterday, so I'll put them a little higher. I say 21.
19. Are they in the rear view or no?
No.
That's three in a row. And they've won the last two games by the same score. I mean, they should beat the Saints. I expect Lamar to be back at the end of the month, and they get boat raced by the Ravens.
Do they split with the Pack or the Pack sweep?
Well, what Packers team do I get? First two weeks, they blow the doors off them and embarrass them. The last three, it's probably a 1-1 stretch.
Yeah.
Minnesota 18. So there you have it.
I don't know what to do with Minnesota. Well, are they going back to J.J. McCarthy? Are they not?
I mean, so he practiced. So maybe they go back to him?
Now, in the case he looks as bad as he did before his injury, that was maybe not as bad as the time he spent on the bench.
Sure.
What happens if he sucks? You just say, hey, sorry, guys, we're going back to Wentz?
Well, that's the problem. You have to because you still have a pretty veteran team.
Yeah.
That won 14 games last year. And if you decide, hey, we're just going to ride it out with the guy who's basically a rookie, that's when Kevin O'Connell runs the risk of losing guys like Justin Jefferson, Harrison Smith, like the veteran leaders on that
team. Yeah, they'll let them know.
Yeah. Especially if they feel that they can win games with Carson Wentz. Which is a wild thing to say out loud into a microphone that is being recorded. That you would feel better about potentially winning games with Carson Wentz.
I didn't hear the same criticism of Indianapolis. What the hell's his name?
Daniel Jones.
Daniel Jones.
Danny Dimes.
Daniel Jones.
Because Daniel Jones has been really good.
I know.
I mean, I'm not waiting
for. Are you waiting?
I'm not waiting for anyone to flop. It's just. I mean, Carson Wentz hasn't been that good, but he's been good enough for them.
Yeah.
And J.J. McCarthy was just way worse. Like, Daniel Jones has been flat good, sort of in the Sam Darnold or Geno Smith of the past when he revitalized his career. There's clearly something going on there. I don't know what it is.
Oh, to me, it's easy.
Steichen?
Jonathan Taylor. Jonathan Taylor is healthy, and when he's healthy...
Tyler Warren, too. He's been unbelievable.
Maybe the Bears missed on that one, huh? decided to go with Loveland instead. And
shocking.
Maybe a swing and a miss. Maybe you overthought the one tight end that everybody thought was the best tight end in the draft, and then you went, no, Colston Loveland.
That would have been a Packers pick, by the way, had they had a dying
Loveland
need for
instead
it.
Of Warren?
Yes, because the athleticism versus like the football player thing. Because Warren isn't particularly gifted athletically. He just knows ball. He's just good at it. Just a football player.
He's their leading receiver.
Yeah. Kind of like Puka. Not going to be incredibly athletic or pop off the screen, but somehow they catch the ball. They keep making plays.
You look down at the end of the day like, wait, how did he have 10 catches for $140?
Yes.
What the hell
yes.
happened here? Be nice if the Packers had, you know, had a game like that from a wide receiver from time to time. But I digress. Hey, guys, let me tell you about our friends at Mentality. Because if you feel like you're running on empty, Mentality Health can step in and help. They deal with low testosterone better than anyone. They've helped me. Didn't even realize I was dealing with low testosterone. I was feeling some of these symptoms, kind of ignored them. But then once I started working with Mentality, I wish I hadn't ignored them. So do you have low energy and motivation, fatigue, you're tired all the time? Weight gain or muscle loss, especially belly fat. If you're feeling anxious, moody, irritable, those are all signs of low testosterone. And Mentality can help. Mentality, a local healthcare facility specializing in helping men feel and perform at their very best. What they focus on is free testosterone levels, which a lot of doctors can overlook, ensuring that your treatment is tailored to your body. That's one of my favorite things here, too, is they are constantly checking in on you to making sure that your testosterone levels are where they need to be so you can look and feel and perform at your very best. So once you start working with Mentality, your energy comes roaring back. Belly fat burns off, your muscle strengthens, and you feel like yourself again, confident, driven, and ready to tackle life. So don't wait. Head over to the website, mentalityhealth.com/radio. That's mentalityhealth.com/radio. So don't let low testosterone hold you back, especially when there's an easy solution. mentalityhealth.com/radio.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
But remember he said his birthday?
Yeah.
Maybe we get a little freaky.
Yeah. Like everyone's like, oh, look at our horny little boy. We're so good for him. Like, everybody's so supportive of Giannis, they just kind of look past it.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Brewers, Dodgers, game two tonight. Can't be at the ballpark. Make sure you check it out on WTMJ. First pitch is at 7:08 once again. But Chewy, there was a really interesting article from Jeff Passan, who is scheduled to appear, and I'm sure we'll talk about this on Wilde and Tausch later today. But his point in the article was this game, this series featuring the Dodgers and Brewers could potentially, there could be more on the line than just a berth in the 2025 World Series. Because we've talked about it a little bit here, Chew. In about 14 months, the CBA is set to expire in Major League Baseball. And all the rumblings and rumors is that owners are really going to make a push for a salary cap, which is obviously something that hasn't existed in baseball. The players are going to fight back on that. And the fear is, and my prediction as of right now is, we might not have baseball, at least to start, in 2027. And his point is, in the article, that whoever wins this series, is there one side or the other is going to use that as an example of why they need something. If the Dodgers win and go on to their second consecutive World Series, if they go on and win a second consecutive World Series with the money that they're spending, owners are going to say, hey, we need a salary cap. Look at this. It's out of control. The Dodgers are spending. They're buying World Series. And that's going to be the point. Whether it's true or not, that's what they're going to say. But if the Brewers win this series and take out the Cubs and take out the Dodgers on their way to a World Series, the Players Union will say, hey, look, you can win multiple ways. This is how you can do it. The Brewers, with their $122 million payroll, they can still go to a World Series. We don't need a salary cap in this sport. And this series is going to be used as an example when the two sides come together and try to hammer out a new CBA in the next 14 months.
So what would is the cap just teams would have to spend X amount of money?
Well, if there's a cap, there would also have to be a floor. So then you could spend, I don't know if they would try to soft cap it the way they do in the NBA. I don't know if they would hard cap it the way they do in the NFL. But certainly with a salary cap, with, hey, you can only spend this much, there would have to be a floor in there as well. Because there are some teams, obviously, that spend not a lot of money. And I'm looking at you, Pittsburgh.
Who gets the vote? owners?
Well, it's owners that want to push for it, right? And, and it seems like ownership. Obviously, you have guys out there like Steve Cohen out in for the New York Mets.
Yeah.
Who has spent a ton of money. Obviously, the Dodgers have spent a ton of money. But the majority of owners, and I think you would only need, I mean, there you probably only need 20 of the 30.
Yeah.
To say, hey, we want a salary cap. And that's the position that they would take. And obviously, the players' union is going to be anti-salary cap.
What's good for the fans?
What's good for the fans is probably a salary cap. But yeah. That's obviously anti-player. And honestly, I don't even know how they would handle some of that, Chew. Because so many guys, when they finally hit free agency, sign these mega 10 to 12-year deals.
Yeah.
So if you have a salary cap, like Shohei's under contract for the next decade. And I understand that so much of that money's still deferred. But I don't know how you deal with any of that. I just don't. It seems like it's such a complicated issue. It makes me think that we're not going to have baseball to start in 2027.
Well, wouldn't the trade-off be the players have to get the free agency much quicker? Because what is it in baseball? 7 years?
Yes.
So drop it down to 4?
Yeah. And again, it's a little bit different because you know, teams are manipulating time and whatnot. Yeah. But yeah, I think that would have to be one of the compromises is, hey, we want to hit free agency sooner then. We have to maximize when we can start earning some of those big-time dollars and a lot of that guaranteed money. Because a lot of times it's just year-to-year with younger players. And you have one really good year, and then if you have a down year, who knows what was going to happen in arbitration.
I really don't. Yeah, I don't know how they would do it.
It's
not like these big-money teams are going to share their TV revenue, which is huge, right?
Yeah, and that's why, again, this works in the NFL. There's no local TV. All the games are nationally, and they still, the national TV contracts that they do have, they do split, and there is some form of revenue sharing in baseball. It's just a little bit different with the way that the economics work.
Let me ask you that. Is basketball's, the way they do it, much better than baseball? It's much fairer, right?
Yeah, because there is a cap, and then, they've introduced the apron system, and you don't want to go over. So it's not a hard cap the way it is in the NFL. You can go over that cap to re-sign your guys and do things like that. So maybe that ends up being the compromise, is it becomes a really complicated financial system like you have in the NBA. I don't know what's ultimately going to happen, but I do know. I think Jeff Passan made a great point, and I think he's going to go into it more details on Wilde and Tausch later today. Of whoever wins this, one side is going to be happy because they're going to use that as an example of, hey, this is what we need to either prop up or stop, depending upon the side you're on and which side wins.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it doesn't get to that. Because baseball, obviously for us, it's very popular right now.
Well, but across the board, like the attendance was up this year, Chew. And I know ESPN, they ended up, they're not going to have the same contract, and they're going to be still involved a little bit with baseball next year, just not on the Sunday Night Baseball side. But like their viewership was up. Things are looking up on the baseball side. It seems like they're gaining some momentum, and it would be a shame if that were to come to a complete halt after 2026.
We could just count on that, right?
When was the last stoppage?
94.
94?
Yeah.
And that hurt them.
Yeah, of course it did.
That hurt them.
Of course it did.
So hopefully they can get it figured out. We got a good thing going here.
Game two tonight. I can't wait. Freddie on the mound. He's been so good at home. Again, maybe look out. If you didn't listen to our conversation with Jeff Levering, go back to the ESPN Wisconsin app and listen to it. But he hinted maybe see Jake Bowers in left tonight. Get some more big bats in that lineup.
Enjoy it, Joshy. I'll be feeding my cat some water.
Lillian Towers coming up next.